Welcome to the Hustle and Flowchart Podcast with your hosts, Matt Wolf and Joe Fear.
All right, we're back for another episode of the Hustle and Flowchart Podcast. I am Joe Fear with my host and business partner, Matthew Wolf.
Hello.
And today we have a cool call with Nancy, who we're gonna talk about a lot of things. I think you're gonna be it's a good balanced call, I feel like, with we got a little bit of branding, we got a little bit of Matt likes to call it the woo-woo, but I feel like it's just daily living. So daily practices, mindfulness, reflection. But we're going to talk about how branding actually is involved in everything you do in business and life, and how that translates to getting more visibility for your, you know, for your brand, your personal brand, and how this actually, you know, step by step, kind of a three process thing that Nancy goes through. So Nancy Marmolejo, you're here. Thank you for being with us. And how you doing?
Yeah. Thank you so much for inviting me to be here. I'm happy to talk to you guys.
For sure. Yeah. So Nancy is a your buddy of AJ Roberts, previous guy we had on the podcast, good friend of ours. And yeah, he referred you along to pop on the podcast. So I don't think we ever thought twice of it. We're like, uh-huh. Yeah. Before you even knew what you did.
If AJ says this is somebody you've got to talk to, then we make it a point to talk to them.
Right.
Oh, that's great. AJ's a great guy.
Yeah. That's a no-brainer. So give us the short, just really quickly, and kind of like what you were telling me right before the call here, what you do, and then we'll kind of crack into some of these details.
Yeah, well, I teach entrepreneurs basically how to communicate their value, what I call their talent and genius, bringing up some of these unique hidden assets that we have. Mm-hmm. The three main areas that I love to talk to people about are their identity, like who you are, what you're all about, what drives you. Communication, basically how do we say that to the world so that people get it, understand it, and that they also feel that value. And then also on visibility strategies so that you can, you know, position yourself out there as an expert, a thought leader, or somebody who is the best choice for people to buy from.
Got it. Yeah, and that's sounds like a lot, you know, for people. So are you working with folks? I'm sure you've worked with a lot of high class, you know, big name people and whatnot. But how would you break down this thing from the get-go, one thing at a time there?
Of the three things that I work on with people?
Exactly, yeah.
So I call it reinventing your personal brand because a lot of people have been taught to follow this very, very structured formula. This is what you got to say. This is how you've got to show up. You've got to posture. And I'm not about posturing. I'm about positioning from a very real, honest place. Because then Mark Twain said it's easier to just be honest because you don't have to remember so much.
It's true.
You know, if you try to be somebody that you're not, you have to constantly be watching over your shoulder. Somebody's going to find out that it's not really so. And so in reinventing your personal brand, the first thing that we do is just look at everything that you've been taught. We scrub the stuff that's not really serving you, keep the things that are, and bring in some maybe some new ways of doing things that really get you on fire to not necessarily, you know, get out there and promote yourself in this real bombastic way, but to just be so alive with what you're doing. It's just a contagious enthusiasm.
So you know, finding your true voice and
And I call it finding your talent and genius. It's that real unique intersection of what you do, how you do it, who you are, how you show up, who you serve. You know, I know that everybody kind of teases people for being snowflakes right now or whatever, but I'm just going to put up a little sign saying, you know what, snowflakes, you're safe with me, because deep down inside, there really is that quality in people. There is a very unique way that two people who have the same skill set can show up entirely differently based on their life experience, based on their personality traits, based on just some of their innate gifts. And so I'm just here to shine the light on that so you don't feel so lost in the crowd when you're out there promoting your business and getting clients.
So what's like a one thing that someone could do right now that maybe they're stuck in a business they don't enjoy, or doing something they feel like, oh, I'm just doing it for the money, or I just felt like I have to do this, and they're just not feeling quite right or motivated. Is there like a I don't know if there's like a meditation or some question exercise they can go through.
Oh, yes, that's a great question. Okay, so deep down inside, what I really, when as soon as somebody starts working with me, you know, they might be thinking, come on, let's get to the message. Let's get to the branding. It's like, no, well, first we're going to get to having a little bit of quiet time. This is a journey of self-awareness, because if you're going to be talking about your strengths, if you're going to be talking about your genius, you have to know yourself well. And so I advocate for having a daily practice of quiet time, reflective time, time of contemplation. Now, there are a lot of different things that people do, that people teach, that hold on a second. There's a plane flying over me. I'm going to just close this window. There are a lot of things that people, you know, say, you know, you have to do this mindfulness practice, or you have to do this meditation practice, or you have to do this, you have to do that. I'm not a fan of have to anything. I want you to want to do something. So I just say, you know, find 10 minutes first thing in the morning. Don't turn your phone on. Don't sleep with your phone on next to you, and the first thing you do is you pick it up and check your messages. You know, turn that thing off.
Turn the input off.
Yeah. Turn it off. I get up earlier than everybody in my house. I just need that quiet time first thing in the morning, and I'll read something inspirational, or maybe I'll jot a few ideas down. I might close my eyes and just get quiet for a few minutes. Sometimes I listen to something. Maybe it's a guided, you know, audio of some sort. But it's just allowing yourself that daily practice, the same way that, I mean, if we have a half an hour to check our email, can't we have 10 minutes to just Google something for ourselves?
Seriously.
Yeah. And, and what that does is it just connects you deeper into this level of self-awareness that you need in order to really want to show up in a genuine way and in a confident way. So before any, you know, tips, tools, and tricks, I just say for everybody, it's really important for your business, for your brand, just for you as a human being, to have some sort of chill time.
So basically, slow down. Yeah, like stop trying to do too much. Don't jump into things without thinking about it. Actually be mindful and aware of the actions you're taking, maybe, you know, prior to starting anything in your day. Because obviously, because I read an article yesterday that's totally related to this, where it's like, go to bed, have a question in your mind that like maybe you want to work on subconsciously throughout the night, and in the morning, first thing that you do is like jot down any thoughts that might have like, you know, just kind of brain dump, but don't pick up that phone. And I was trying really hard, and literally instinctually, the first thing I did was like grab my phone without even thinking, and then I caught myself like a second in, and I'm like, what am I doing? I'm like, dang it, I'm already breaking rule number one. Like,
well, you put the phone in another room.
Yes.
That's one. And the other thing is, one way to avoid cheating yourself out of the benefit of this is, don't start telling yourself, you know, when I make my morning coffee, it's like a ritual, and that's my meditation time.
Yeah. Or, when I've tried that too.
When I'm taking a shower, that's my meditation time. It's like you're doing other things. So if you can just have some dedicated time, maybe it can be more than 10 minutes. Maybe you feel antsy after 5 minutes, so stay with five. But the discipline is to just get yourself into this place of stillness. And I see people can get really uncomfortable just after 1 minute, and they start judging themselves, like, oh, my mind is racing. It's okay. Just give it a chance. Give it 30 days and see how it goes. Oh, yeah. And then I like to set an intention for the day. And, you know, once you do this for a while, you don't have to really think about the intention. You just sort of ask yourself, okay, what's the best intention for me today? And suddenly this word comes up, like focus. Like, ooh, where'd that come from? You know, your intuition starts talking to you.
Yeah.
It makes a huge difference for how you run your life and how you run your business.
Yeah, that's so powerful too. I mean, I've noticed that, you know, when we run into issues like what Joe was kind of referring to, like, oh man, I'm stuck in this job, I hate what I'm doing, I don't like these tasks I'm doing on a daily basis, usually we figure out how to solve those kind of problems through that sort of silent reflection process, through things like meditating or just, you know, going and sitting outside and being with nature and stuff like that. That's usually when the ideas on how to overcome that kind of stuff seem to come. I'm definitely guilty of the whole cell phone thing, though. I keep my cell phone next to my bed, and the first thing I do is go, all right, what came in overnight do I have to respond to before I even get out of bed? So that's...
such a bad habit that we all have.
It's a very bad habit, and it's just kind of funny that I kind of know the solution to a lot of these things, but I still stay stuck in my bad habits.
All right. Well, maybe Nancy has some more stuff for us to break through.
I don't know. If somebody in your house has to hit you.
I'll tell his wife.
Yeah.
All right. Let's carry on then. So step two, or was there more to that step you think you can put on or elaborate on?
Well, now that's a piece of it. But once you're in that space, then you can start going into that self-reflection.
Yeah.
What am I really great at? What is it that I'm doing skill-wise that I love, that charges me up? What are the skills that I do every day that I just really hate doing it? It drains me. What are the things that I've been good at ever since I was a little kid, these just natural strengths, whether it's creativity or being analytical? A lot of entrepreneurs... Like, I don't know, you guys maybe, and I know myself, I love assessments. They're so much fun. You know, we can't get enough of finding out about ourselves. And after a while, you start to notice a pattern. Like, it's like, oh, there you go again. I'm a great leader. Or there I go again. I'm always creative. And you start to see these trends and you realize, okay, that's a natural strength that I carry with me wherever I go.
Yeah.
So you have to just have that understanding of some of the strengths. I have a process I'm going to teach you guys in a couple minutes, and that'll kind of tie that together in a real tangible way too.
Perfect. Cool. Well, let's do you want to get on to that, or you want to keep going through each one of these things here?
Well, it kind of is the second one.
Yeah.
So I might as well
crack into it. No, I love this. Yeah.
All right. I know you guys love systems. So I came with my best.
Yes.
One of the things that I notice, so the second thing that I help people with is communication.
Mm-hmm.
And communication happens in a lot of different ways. Some people think when I say message for your business or message for your brand, they're like, oh, good, tell me my tagline. It's like, no, that's not what we're talking about. That's a tagline. And they say, okay, give me my elevator pitch.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not it either. One of the biggest mistakes people make is they forget that communication is a two-way street.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're communicating with somebody, it's not a broadcast, it's a dialogue. So the first thing, and this is something good that, you know, maybe people can, doing step one and they're doing the daily practice, you could just ask yourself, wow, where am I broadcasting and not dialoguing?
Mm. That would be interesting. It's like when people say, like, yeah, I'm talking to these people today. And no, you're actually talking with those people.
Yeah. Or you don't, or talking at those people.
Right, I mean, yeah.
Which is it?
Yeah.
So what I notice is that if you ever go somewhere where people are, you know, meeting each other and they might be in a business setting and they say, oh, so tell me who you are and what you do. And then they say something and then it just sort of lands. And then you say, well, what do you do? And they go, blah, and they say their thing at you. And then you're both just kind of standing there.
You're like, what now?
Yeah. And the thing is, like, did you remember anything that they said? Mm. You know, if it's this very verbatim talking points. Or more importantly, do people just remember the gist of who you are? Very interesting. I just went to a conference last week where I saw a speaker who is a brain scientist, and she was talking about why when we hear a joke that makes us laugh and then we try to retell it, we have a really hard time trying to retell it.
That is interesting.
It's because we're trying to recall a verbatim, like something that we heard verbatim. We're trying to remember it and repeat it verbatim. And our brain just doesn't work that way. Our brain can't hold on to the verbatim information, but our brain can hold on to the gist of something, the gist being just the general idea, the more or less this is what it's all about. So if people can, if you approach people with this overly structured message that's full of jargon or doesn't sound like natural language, people aren't going to remember you because it's so scripted. We can't remember that. But if they can get a hold of what you're passionate about, what you are, you know, riled up about, how you help the world, they're going to remember that about you. They might not remember word for word, but they're going to remember that about you. And what would you rather have people remember you for? Is, you know, being impactful or having said something, but they can't quite remember what it is.
So really you're going after, obviously you want to land your emotion, whatever effect you're trying to get, you know, with whatever your conversation is, people are going to carry away with an emotion from that, from whatever that was. So that's why, like, yeah, with a joke, it makes sense because they were just in the moment, they were enjoying their time, they loved the joke, and they're like, "Crap, well, how did he present that joke? What was his inflection in the beginning, or his pace, or you know, all that stuff?"
Yes, yes. So emotion is really important, and then also being able to help people visualize who you are when you're doing and what you're doing when you're working in your place of genius. Now, the way that you do that is, I have a master's degree in education, so I kind of come in with, I'm gonna throw in a little grammar at you guys, but verbs are really important. So strong verbs, action words. A lot of times people introduce themselves or they're writing about themselves on their websites or they're, you know, putting themselves out there on a podcast or an interview, and they might say, I'm a blank. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a listener of this podcast. What might they be?
A marketer or a entrepreneur or
small business owner.
Small business owner.
Okay, you know, I'm a marketer. All right, let's say that. Now, that's not really giving us an idea of who you are and what you do.
Right.
But if you have a strong verb that really describes your genius, maybe you're the kind of person who simplifies things that are complex. So you can say, you know, I simplify marketing for, you know, people, blah, 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 businesses. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're a person who designs funnels and things like that. Depending on who you are and where you're coming from, it might be I design funnels. You might say I engineer funnels. You might say I create funnels. Mm-hmm. Those are verbs, engineer, you know, using the word engineer as a verb, design, create, simplify. We can actually get a picture in our minds of what that person's doing. And instead of saying, I'm a marketer, we now see them as a solution.
Mm. Mm. I like that. Yeah, it's building that mental image, even if it's just slight, and whatever that is, it's like, yeah, I craft funnels. You know,
yeah.
It's oh, wow, he's actually taking the time. He's doing this by hand, or he has a team and structuring things. Yeah.
So stop thinking of yourself as a noun and start thinking of the verbs that come before that noun.
I like it. Okay.
Good. That's a good summation of it. And so you have this, I mean, now what we've done is taken it from the verbatim and we've gone into the gist. It's like now I want people to walk away and all I want them to think about is there's that simplify or craft or engineer, you know, and when you, somebody who designs something versus somebody who crafts something versus somebody who engineers something, they're going to come in there. It's like, ooh, craft. Mm-hmm. They're really, you know, detail and creative
and,
about it. Unique. Yeah. All of those great things. Mm-hmm. So we've got all these different options. So all of that being said, everybody think of your favorite verb that describes you or go online. You can just Google list of verbs. You'd be surprised what's out there. I'm advising people not to use empower only because it's been overused in a lot of areas and it's lost its teeth. But if you can find something that's really, really just like, oh, yes, I can feel that. Like what's in response to what people need? That simplify is huge because we're such an overwhelmed world, you know. Simplifies really good.
And I would assume you want to search for a verb that relates to the end result that these people might have or some objection that they might have before working with you or buying your products. So if it is something like, oh, it's complicated for, you know, for funnels or, you know, say if you're selling a product where they kind of do it themselves, you want to make sure, yeah, I simplify this with the training that I give you. To, you know, it's, so, it's, like, so simplify would be a better.
So we simplify marketing automation, because most people would see marketing automation as like a complex, overwhelming. That seems like it must be hard. But if we're the guys who simplify it,
right,
then it sounds much more approachable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Simplify, demystify, take the sting out. I mean, there's all sorts of fun ways you can do it. So that's something we'll, that'll be called, like, next time we meet, we'll geek out on verbs.
Wow.
There's a three-step process that I created that helps people put that into action.
Perfect.
And so I call this the love, hate, create message. And put it out. I made a video about this in 2013, like on a Friday, and I put it on Facebook, and then I took my daughter to softball practice, and the next day she had a game, and I was like the dugout mom, and I was busy all weekend long. I didn't go back to Facebook, and then, I don't know, it might have been Sunday night or Monday morning. It's like, oh, I wonder what's going on with that video, and there were like 300 comments, and people were watching it, and it's like, oh, I think that we found something people like here. So... So I want to teach that to you guys. And then there's also a download people can get so they can get a little template for it and walk themselves through it.
Perfect. Cool. Yeah, let's get through it. And then at the end of the podcast, we'll tell them where to go get it.
Cool. All right. So I call it the love, hate, create message. There's three different parts. Mm-hmm. Your dog likes it too.
Yeah, they're excited. They can't wait.
Yeah. So the first part is you tell people what it is that you love about what you do and the people that you serve. You know, it's like, and you can use the word love, or you can say, you know, what lights me up, or what, you know, gets me up in the morning, or what I'm passionate about, or what turns me on, whatever it is. And then, like you guys, let's use you as an example. You know, it's like, what are y'all guys all about? It's like, man, we love simplifying marketing automation for people, blah, 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 so they can blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. All right, so you put that passion in there. That's the first piece. Mm-hmm. And so this is that emotional part that you were talking about.
Yes, yeah.
All right, so that's an emotional hook. It's like, wow, you know, and you say the language that works for you. Like, not everybody's going to want to say, I love, you know, you might want to be more bro about it or whatever you want.
I freaking dig marketing.
I get stoked on marketing automation.
Yeah, bro.
It's whatever fits. Yes. So I'm not one to censor.
That's good.
So the second part, that was really cool, because the second part gets to set you apart as a contrarian and a true advocate to help the pain and suffering of your ideal client. Hmm. So you think about how your ideal client is not being helped by what's out there, the dead ends that they keep hitting, or the mistakes they keep making in hopes of solving this problem. So, like, what's just an awful, typical worst case scenario of people when they come to you to learn about marketing?
I would say the worst thing is overcomplicating things unnecessarily.
Somewhere out there, they're getting overcomplicated because there's so many different options to choose from. They're probably picking this and picking that, and they're just like, you know, banging their head up against the wall with every single solution and nothing's working.
Right.
Right. So then you guys can say, maybe you guys are the type of people who would say, what pisses me off, or what drives me crazy, drives us crazy, is seeing, you know, these great business people who are spinning their wheels. They keep trying all these marketing things that don't work. They're banging their head up against the wall, and it's getting them nowhere. And it's just like, you know, it's heartbreaking, or it just like drives you crazy.
You could be so much more, but these guys have ruined it.
Right.
Yeah.
In this part, you really just genuinely and authentically connect to, like, the frustration people are saying. It's like, God, I can't stand, you know, it's like when I teach people messaging, it's like, you know, I love teaching people how to communicate who they are and what they do, so they get more business and they get more clients. And it drives me crazy when I see people doing these like templates and formulas and talking like robots, because nobody talks that way and nobody's going to respond to them.
It's a script, rather than being genuine.
Right. And that's actually that's two parts of my love, hate, create. So the last part of it is now you step in as a solution person. You step in as a change maker. You say, so I've created, you know, and then you name what you create. You created a marketing system. You created a marketing class or a program or a podcast. You created a business. You created a movement to help people solve this problem. So you put those three pieces together. And then you have this really cool way of putting of piecing these together. So let me give you an example for
sure.
instance. All right, this was I have a couple. All right, here's one. This is just kind of like I'll start with like kind of plain vanilla. This from an accountant.
Cool.
All right. So this person says, "I love helping small businesses who are in big growth phases. What drives me crazy is how many business owners come to me stuck in accounting systems that they don't even understand." Any business person who's ever had somebody set up an accounting system is like nodding their head going, "Oh my God, I don't even understand." She says, "So I created a program where I collaborate with my clients to build custom accounting systems that meet their specific needs. They get the answers they need in the click of a mouse because I translate the accounting gobbledygook into stories and pictures that they clearly understand."
I love it. Yeah.
So when she goes out and gives talks, she introduces herself with that. She can put it on the homepage of her website. She uses it in her social media profiles. And when people associate, like, who is she and what does she do? She's like, oh, you know, she's...
Sends them that. or that's her line. Yeah.
Yes.
And that creates, like, such a good mental image now. And it's, like, instantly relatable. Because it's like, oh, they get me. They've been in my shoes, or they know what I've been through.
Exactly. All right. Now let me give you another one.
Okay.
All right. So this one is from a veteran marketer and online business person who was taking his decades of marketing in one certain niche and bringing it over to another. He wanted to help people develop their businesses in a different way. And so he said, "I get fired up teaching." Okay, teaching is his power verb. All right, just leave there. "I get fired up teaching coaches and consultants to change the way they do business so they can make more money and live a better lifestyle." That was his love part.
Okay.
All right. And then his hate part, he says, "But I hate how so many are still stuck in the cycle of exchanging dollars for hours, tiring themselves out, working really hard at a failed business plan." Okay, so he's like poking the stick in the cage a little bit.
Just right.
The more time they put in, the less they get out. You know, that it's just like these are things that people confess to him, you know, not necessarily publicly, but he knows the pain people carry around. So he's able to say that in his message. And he says, "So I created a roadmap that puts coaches and consultants in the fast lane towards the money and the lifestyle they deserve." And then the conversation goes on, you know, to explain further what that roadmap is. So he brings that right into a product offer.
I would say, like, yeah, this message can be used, I mean, everywhere. Like, like, you know, in a talk, you could be in any webinar that you create or sales video.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking the same thing. I'm thinking, like, this message that you create, this is your, now your, you know, your LinkedIn bio, your Facebook
USP.
Profile, your, like, it's kind of the thing you post everywhere so people know exactly what you stand for and what they can learn from you.
Yeah, I have a number of clients that use LinkedIn. Some of my corporate clients, they're using LinkedIn to advance their careers, and they're getting, you know, contacted by recruiters. They're being noticed by, you know, higher ups in their own companies. I have speakers who use this when they do their talks. I also have clients who are doing big product launch formula style launches, and they use this type of languaging on their videos. And, you know, the part of it is, like, it's not one of those, remember, it's not like this verbatim thing. You just, like, if you can remember, what is it that you love, what is it you hate, and what did you create in response to it, even if you switch out the words and it's not exactly, that's okay. But when somebody hears you with this kind of message, they're going to remember the passion that you have for what you do. They're going to hear you as an advocate who really understands the pain that they're going through, and they're going to see you as a person who has a solution.
And I think it's It's just so, and I'll be short here because I think you have an idea, Matt. But I know from like personal experience, if you just try to overscript things or over prepare, we're not fans of over preparing or really preparing too much for talks, like because we do like monthly, we present to a monthly marketing group, 100 people or so, and you know our talks could be about 20 minutes long, and we have a general idea of what we're going to talk about. Slides are prepared and they're good. But when it comes to speaking, it's like, okay, I'm not going to say this exact line. You know, it's we have the essence of what we're going to do. And I think right. we can perfect it even more with this three-step part, you know, thing here. But like if we overscript like on a webinar, the emotion doesn't come out as much. Mm-hmm. And we know that from just trying to record these things and present. We're like, ah, it doesn't feel right.
Yeah. You just got to let it flow. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. So yeah. that's I just want to free people up to have real conversations and not to be walking around with this billboard persona on them and just
yeah.
you know everybody goes out there and says, you know, very cliche like be yourself, just yeah. be you, be the best you. It's like, well, if you don't know who you are, it's really hard to be you.
yeah, yeah. Now, I mean, this little framework would be perfect for like your about page or something. If you've got a blog, this is like a perfect framework to start to outline what you'd put on that about page. I know a lot of our listeners are actually bloggers and stuff too, so I wanted to kind of add that in there. But I actually have a question, and this might sound like kind of a weird question because it's coming from my very analytical, technical brain. But
see what I have to deal with over here.
my question is how do you know if your little I don't know what you call it, but your three part saying presentation that you come up with, how do you know if it's effective or not, or if it's something that needs some tweaking? Because I'm very much like I split test everything. I like to see numbers. I like to know what's working and what's not working. And something like this, I have a hard time conceptualizing, okay, that is the right sort of three phrase process, or you know what I'm getting at. I'm kind of like, is there a way to know that we kind of nailed it or anything like that?
Yeah, there's. I like your analytical self and the questions you're asking. It's good. Well, okay, so I've had clients who want to go rogue on me, and they're like, I'm going to change the order. And I was like, why are you changing the order? You know, and they change the order, and then they say, gee, it wasn't effective. It's like, okay, thank you for the data points. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to start off with the pissed off part. It's like, then you're going to be that angry person in the room that everyone's going to want to avoid.
That's true.
So I just, you know, what I do is I change everything up all the time. I wouldn't take the same thing and put it on every single platform. I'd play around with it. Maybe use I help people. Maybe it's I teach people. Maybe, you know, I love demystifying. I, you know, find it exciting to demystify. I get charged up demystifying. You know, whatever it is, you play around with some of the words. One of the best things you can do is, I think, is using it in a talk. So if you're on a video, if you're giving a presentation in person, if you're doing a webinar, just do this and feel into how it feels for you. People will understand you in a better way. And it's not as boring as the regular old bio. It's got an unpredictable element to it. And I think because of the middle part, that hate part is right in the middle. That can make people smile and cringe in a really good way because they identify with it. And when you get to that place where people can identify with something, there's this micro yes that's being said in their mind. They're saying, yes, I relate to that. Yes, I feel that. And when somebody starts to say those little yeses to anything that you're saying, they're going to, you know, say more yeses to you and build that know, like, and trust factor. Maybe they'll say the big yes to you and buy from you.
Yeah.
So it just definitely paves the way. But I would recommend trying out different lengths, different verbs, different words, different formats, different elements of humor, different elements of emotion. I wouldn't use anything that's sappy or feels, you know, doesn't feel genuine. Mm-hmm. I had some people who were in more of personal development field that would say things like, you know, I love, you know, whatever, you know, hugging teddy bears or whatever it is. It's something, you know, warm and fuzzy. And then they'd say, like, and it tears my heart apart when I see people, you know, suffering through this endless, you know, and it's like, wow, we're really sad now. It didn't work. So keep it light. Keep it impactful. Don't make it, like, sappy. And then you just try it out.
Oh man, the teddy bear approach was my go-to.
I gotta go back to the drawing board.
Shit.
No, I know you wanted that teddy bear so bad.
I did. This is good. No, this is like a lot. My mind's just kind of like, okay, how can I apply this? I mean, so like. Sorry, go ahead.
If I can just share one more thing.
When I
put that video out and it started going all around the place, and then I've done some webinars and things teaching this, I have found out now it's kind of taken a life of its own. And I get these letters from associations and networking groups and professional organizations, and they said, we just heard your Love, Hate, Create message, and now we're having everybody in our group, when they have to introduce themselves, use that. And everybody loves it. So it's helped a lot of people escape the dreaded elevator speech. And so I just wanted to add that in. There's just a lot of versatility to it. And I like it when people get creative with it. But I recommend you keep the same order, and just because psychologically it hits in a certain way.
That makes sense.
Cool.
Yeah. Matt, do you want to ask your question?
Yeah. I mean, we have just a couple little wrap-up questions that we ask everybody who comes on. And the first one is, do you have any books that you recommend or you find yourself reading over and over again, or, you know, just some good book recommendations? They can either be on the topic we talked about today or completely off topic. It doesn't matter to us. Just, we want to point people in the direction of some good reading material.
Oh my goodness. I'm always reading a book. I have like 5 books that I'm reading right now, and I just bought 3 books at a conference. Sarah Cooper wrote this book. It's called, like, it's a kind of a parody cartoon book. It's 100 Ways to Appear Smart in Meetings or something like that. It's these cartoons that are just ridiculously funny. I always recommend The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. I think that's a fantastic book. It helps people have this understanding of what we call their upper limit.
And
he talks about the zone of genius, which is a big, you know, thumbs up for me. Mm-hmm. I always recommend that people view Brené Brown's TED Talk on the power of vulnerability. If you have not seen that, it's about 15 minutes. It's going to change your life. Mm. It's pretty incredible when the way that she talks about vulnerability and bringing that topic to the forefront, I think, has helped us in our quest to understand ourselves and understand others. And I'm always reading something reflective of, you know, something that just, I can start my day off with something really nice and mellow. There's this book mm-hmm. called The Book of Awakening by an author named Mark Nepo, N-E-P-O. Mm-hmm. And what I like about it is he's not a motivational speaker and he's not a life coach. He's actually a poet. And he had cancer several years ago, and it changed his life. It changed his perspective on the world. And he wrote this book that's got these daily reflections that are just absolutely beautiful.
Hmm.
Not preachy, not too hard to understand, but just really reflective.
I like Very it. Cool. And that's what's really interesting is our podcast that we recorded before this was he recommended a separate book, but it was another daily kind of get your head straight, just a mindfulness type book where you check in every morning with that book. And I think that's so powerful. It's kind of like a trend we're seeing on this podcast.
You know, those daily readers are really good for helping to create a ritual in your life. And so that's what I recommend when somebody wants to, you know, how do I start with a little chill time in the morning? It's like, well, get yourself a daily reader, even if it's just short, or it can be one of these longer ones. There's ones that have religious and spiritual themes. There's mm-hmm. humor, there's motivation, there's just about everything.
Yeah. Awesome.
Very cool.
Do you want to hit her with that question of yours?
So the final question. So you mentioned people can go and get a download of your process. Where can they go to get that?
They can go to talentandgenius.com,
okay.
all spelled out, talentandgenius.com/ sample-message. It's like, I wish it was easy. I wish it was like, you know, 123.abc.
Well, we will definitely link to it below in the show notes, yeah. So anybody listening to this can easily click the link over to it. Are there any other resources or websites or social media accounts or anything else that you want people to check out about you?
I'm all over the place. So if you put my name, Nancy Marmolejo, and if you can spell it correctly, that would be great. Marmolejo. If you just pop that in, you can find all my social links probably through Google. Or if you go to talentandgenius.com, that's my main website. There's all sorts of social links there. There's a link to my podcast. There's blog posts. There's a free resource called the Genius Finder. I have a book on personal branding. There's all sorts of great resources. So if you come into my world, I'll take good care of you.
Awesome.
Hey, and we didn't mention this, but congratulations on your Golden State Warriors.
Hey, oh, guys. Hell yes!
They kind of dominated, just a little bit.
They kind of dominated the entire playoffs.
Right.
I'm a diehard fan from my childhood when I played CYO basketball in Catholic school, and they took us to Warrior games, so it just makes my heart sing when I see them win, and we're all very, very happy.
Well, on that note, it was a good time, Nancy. Thanks for being on. And there's a lot of good stuff we can apply here. So
thank you so much.
Yeah. So check her out, and we'll talk next time. Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. Now, if you don't know already, myself and my partner Joe Fear, every single week we put together this killer weekly newsletter that's completely free. If you go to theweeklyprofit.com, you can get on this weekly newsletter. And what we do with this newsletter is we scour the internet. We read every piece of content, listen to blog posts, check out new software and tools. And we distill down the best of the best into a weekly newsletter and deliver it directly to your inbox every single week. So head over to theweeklyprofit.com and make sure you're signed up to receive that weekly newsletter. You're going to love it. Thanks so much again for listening to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. We'll see you in the next one.